Hello and welcome to Jason and Ashley's Excelente Adventures. I'm Jason.
I'm Ashley.
Ashley?
Yes.
We're back on the road again. I can't wait to get back on the road again.
We're on the road right now.
I'm Willie Nelson and I want to be your friend. I can't wait to get on the road again.
What movie was he in with Jessica Simpson?
What?
Him and Jessica Simpson were in a movie
together. I have no idea. Willie Nelson and Jessica Simpson were in a movie?
Yeah, it's like a remake of a TV show, and there's like two dumb brothers.
Oh, you're talking about the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, there you go. I was like, two dumb brothers who drive a car?
Couple good old boys.
I don't know. He plays like Grandpa Hazzard.
And they're up to no good. Yeah, he plays like their uncle or their whatever.
I have no idea.
It's a terrible casting choice, actually. And Johnny Knoxville is one of them. And then I think of Stifler from the American Pie movies. I was so mad at that movie because... and Burt Reynolds is Boss Hogg. I was so mad at that movie because I used to love that stupid television show where one of the Bo brothers was Jonathan Kent, John Schneider from Smallville, Pa Kent.
Mm.
I had the little toy car that was their little...
Doesn't it have the...
Yes, the
evil flag on it?
Yes, it has the Confederate flag on top, yes. Because it's called the General Lee.
There you go.
Because they're in the South. And every episode is about them jumping a chasm. And they pause in midair and go, well, these Duke boys get through this boondoggle. hood boggle. We'll find out after the break.
I could see how if you were a little boy, how that could capture your imagination.
Anyways, you could make that into a great movie. And that movie was beyond stupid.
Hot take. You do that movie by... meeting up with them when they're in their mid to late 40s, maybe 50s. The two brothers are burned out, and they are played by Timothy Oliphant and Walton Goggins.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
They'd be like, what happens, you know, when you peak when you're so young? What do you do with the rest of your life?
I say... although I will say this... I love the design of that car.
Uh-huh.
You got to get rid of that flag.
I 1,000% agree.
But...
maybe in the course of the movie, they decide what they're going to replace it with.
Look, bad pitch right now.
Sure.
This is off the top of my head, Dukes of Hazzard movie. The bad pitch is that they're two Southern brothers who are down on their odds. They have nothing to do, but one of them is like the best driver in the state.
Sure.
And the other one is the best mechanic in the state. And they are kind of just screwing about stealing cars because they, you know, they're up to no good. And their uncle gives them the General Lee to like fit because he's like, this is the greatest car. Like let's say it's a 1970 Plymouth Cuda, which if any of you car aficionados out there know that it is a very rare and very amazing car. So it's like a general, it's a Cuda. For Barracuda, Ashley. And
sure.
And they're like, oh, that's a piece of shit. I don't want to fix that. And then over the course of the movie, they fix it up and they race. They go in all these small little races. And then it gets involved with one of the races they race in Hazzard County is owned by Boss Hogg.
Played by...
I don't fucking care. I don't care.
Danny McBride.
I'm not a casting person. That's not a bad choice, though, actually. Played by who the fuck cares, because I only care about the story. It's the first race they lose because it's fixed.
Mm.
And then the movie becomes about these two boys who had nothing to do. They find solace or purpose in the past.
Mm.
That like a thing that they thought was a piece of junk, like their uncle,
mm-hmm.
they learn to love. And so they turn their lives around by doing that.
Cool.
Now, I will say, even though immediately out the gate, I'm like, get rid of the Confederate flag on top. There is something to be said. I don't know. I don't know if you could pull it off. Because there is a storyline where, like, the uncle gives him the car and it has that on top. And they're like, no. Are you kidding me?
I think that has to be the story. And I think it has to be... you can use that as sort of, like, a meta thing of, like, yeah, we're embracing the past. But also... we can still look to the future.
Well,
maybe they put like an eagle or something on top of it.
What
like
if
something
they, what
American
if,
but like more inclusive.
What if they just painted to an American flag?
Great.
Like so when it's the uncle's car, it has the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
And then when they finally fix it up and make it theirs, it's the American flag.
Yeah.
I like that. That will keep. Okay, we will keep that in the movie. I don't know about you guys out there, Jason and Ashley. This is not what we're talking about today, but I think I just pitched a pretty damn good Dukes of Hazzard movie the top of my head.
I don't know who owns Dukes of Hazzard.
I don't know either.
Please tweet at them and tell them that we're great. But this is another patron topic suggestion. This comes from Mark Smith, who says, I would like you to discuss favorite outdoor places you have been to, which is such a lovely and like unexpected thing to be asked about. So, Jason, when we were talking about doing this topic, you right away said, well, there's Hawaii.
Yes.
Because Jason really wanted to go to Hawaii, and I was like, I don't know, man, that's just America.
I had to convince you to go to Hawaii.
And then we went to Hawaii, and Hawaii is a...
Spent 5 days there.
Magical, beautiful land that I regret leaving.
And we just said, we just went to the main island. We were just in Oahu.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want to go to Kauai so bad, but what are some of your favorite places that we went in Oahu, and which one of them were lost shooting locations?
Well, look, I'm just going to say this to a bunch of people. We went to a lot of lost shooting locations because I love Lost. And if you watch the series Lost, there are so many beautiful shooting locations. We went to the ranch where they also filmed Jurassic Park. It's that famous valley that you see in every tropical movie.
And Kong Skull Island.
Kong Skull Island is there. Like, so many things shot there. We found the beach where the plane crashes, which, fun fact, is right across the road from the YMCA village that they used to film the Dharma village.
And they definitely had signs that said you can't take a picture here, and we definitely trespassed and took pictures.
And then we also found, I found the hunting ground.
The
bamboo forest where Jack wakes up in the pilot of Lost. And we definitely snuck in there and then snuck her out real quick.
Yep.
I don't know. I want to hear more your thoughts, like, against, especially since you were against Hawaii. Because Hawaii totally lived
up. I wasn't against it. I just didn't really think it was going to be magical. And it was very moving in an unexpected way.
Why? Okay, how was it moving?
Well, culturally, it doesn't super feel like America.
No, it doesn't.
Like, it kind of feels like, what if California and Japan had a baby and they all spoke English?
Mm-hmm.
But there were like a lot of...
And served rice at every place. They every restaurant.
Very, very Japanese. Yep. Mm-hmm. And pancakes. Pancakes was like
pancakes
the
and rice,
staple.
Yep.
Of Hawaii.
Don't forget about the chickens and the cats.
Yeah, like, it was very unique in a way that I wasn't expecting. There were
that
chickens.
That references that there are chickens and cats everywhere, everybody.
Everywhere, just these wild chickens. And they're the same colors as the chicken in Moana. As Heihei. So I was, and Moana had just come out, so I was very delighted
by
that.
Do we have any Hawaiian patrons?
We definitely have a Hawaiian fan. I believe his name is...
Anyways, if you're listening to this and you live in Hawaii, leave us a comment on wherever you're listening to this.
Yeah, and let us know if you have a guest room.
Whoa, okay. I wasn't going that far. But all right.
Yeah, and the cats, which are called Moana cats.
Yes.
One of my favorite things that we saw when we were there was the first day we went hiking out to the...
Northeasternmost
point of the island.
Northwestern.
Yep.
Northwest, because we were pointing towards Japan.
I know directions.
Yep.
And it's as close as you can get to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Still
be in America.
Hundreds of thousands of miles away. Mm-hmm. And I waved at Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of crawled through this bird sanctuary.
Yeah, I can't remember what the birds were called.
They were so ugly.
Mm-hmm. They looked like dodos.
Yeah, yeah. They were like these weird endangered birds. You couldn't take dogs past a certain point. We took a really great picture on our first hike out there, but I hold on to that as like such a beautiful experience.
Well, because
one of the most happy memories I have from that
time.
The
beautiful thing about that is that it was like the first thing we did, and I did that intentionally because I've always heard the thing about, there's a life hack, everybody, and I love lifehacker.com, not a sponsor of the podcast.
If they would like to be, we would love that.
I applied to work there once and they didn't hire me.
Screw you, life hacker.
I still like them. They're fine. They gave me a lot of tips. Anyways, one of the tips I learned from Life Hacker is that for every vacation, you should always do something really cool at the beginning, and you should do something really cool at the very end, because that's what you remember from the vacation. And also, that is what makes the vacation a positive memory.
Mm-hmm.
If your last memory of the vacation is like rushing to get to the airport, you will hate that vacation.
I mean, our last memory was almost missing our gate.
Oh, no, but but if you remember, our the last thing we did in Hawaii before the airport
we
was...
We went to the waterfall.
I wanted to go hike this waterfall that was by the airport, or like not that far away from the airport.
Yeah, that was
and
great.
And it was an awesome hike, and I'm so glad we did that. And I almost guarantee you that and the first hike are exactly why we were like, oh, man, Hawaii.
Yeah. We also saw a seal on a beach, or sea lion, and I was really worried that it was hurt, but it turns out that they're just like that. But I think of that first hike a lot, and then I think of when we went to Turtle Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's all these big
all the turtles.
Sea turtles, and they're just kind of like...
Riding the waves.
Chilling in the wave pool, flipping over in circles. And we went in the early spring, kind of right before tourist season.
We went in April.
Yeah. And there were a lot of really little ones, I thought was cool.
The other great thing is that because when we went to Hawaii, because of the time zone difference, like we were waking up at like 6 a.m., 7 a.m.
Yeah.
So we would just get up and just go to the beach. And we would be at the beach. By the time we were done at the beach, which was, you know, like 11 or noon, like because we'd been there for like 3 or 4 hours. We're like, okay, I think we're pretty beached out. Everybody else would be like waking up and showing up. Like everybody would come around noon.
We went to bed at like 8 o'clock though. Yeah, we were so tired.
I know. We never got over that. But that was the greatest thing about it is like almost every morning we had the entire beach to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because no one else would be there.
Also, our neighbors had really loud chickens at the Airbnb who would just scream in the morning.
But enough about Hawaii. Ashley, are there any other? I mean, Hawaii is definitely a number one for me. What outdoor places do you like? Are there any Canadian places or any European places? Or, you know,
one of my favorite outdoor places is a national park in Canada called Algonquin Park. It's in Ontario.
Okay.
It's in like mid-northern Ontario, I guess. And it's humongous. It takes like almost a day to drive through. It's so gorgeous. I saw a moose every time we drove through there as a child. And when I think of... When people describe Canada as being beautiful and natural and exotic, that's what I think of. And I really can't recommend that if people are going to Ontario on a trip and if they can take the day and go to Algonquin Park, I truly cannot recommend it enough. And
where exactly is it? You said Ontario?
It's in Ontario, okay. Yeah. And if you take the right divergence, you can see what you would think of typically as a lot of Canadian wildlife. There's lots of bears there, wolves, foxes, beavers, moose, deer. It's a very rich, protected environment. So I really loved that. And also, one of the last times Jason and I were in New Brunswick, we went out to Mactaquac and we went on a really beautiful hike out there.
I don't remember Mactaquac.
Yeah,
am I saying that right?
We walked by a waterfall in the woods.
Oh, is that where we were?
Yeah. On the way to St. Andrews. Remember that little fishing village?
I remember going to St. Andrews,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we went on this little divergent hike, and I haven't gone around New Brunswick as much, but I had a really nice time when we were there.
I would want to do it more.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
the only problem I had with going to Canada, of course, was the very, 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 very slow speed limits.
Yeah, well, Jason likes to drive fast.
It was also in kilometers, but it was also like it was like we were driving that in American speeds, like 45 miles per hour everywhere. And I was like, we got to drive at 45 miles per hour for 3 hours? Are you kidding me?
Well, you take your life in your own hands when you break the speed limit.
I guess.
So Algonquin Park. Also, if you want an outdoor place that's like not a little more urban, in Ottawa, which is the capital city of Canada, they have a canal that's 14 kilometers long. And they freeze it over during the coldest parts of the year, so January, February, beginning of March, and you can skate on it, and you can skate the length of the entire city, basically. And we did it a lot when I was at the University of Ottawa because it was free, and we had nothing better to do. And it's a very, very Canadian thing to do, and it's a great way to spend a nice, crisp winter day. And then once there was a tourist there who all the water in her eyeballs froze. So sometimes it gets a little chilly, but I think the Rideau Canal is real. It's something really like unique and special.
There's a couple places I want to mention, little places. One is the Grand Canyon.
Oh, amazing.
In Arizona. I went there once in like 2008 when I was coming back from one of the summers I worked in Idlewild when I was driving back to Oklahoma. That was a place we went, and I took Ashley there.
Yes.
And it was kind of the same thing. I know you were like, I don't know, I'll go see it because everybody's going to see it.
Well, but you're like, it's a hole in the ground.
Well, it's one of those things that the reason why everybody talks about it is because it's so breathtaking. You're just like, oh my God. And you're, it's one of those instances where your eyes look at it and it looks fake.
It doesn't look real.
It looks like it's a backdrop, and you're like, but I know it's real. But your like brain cannot compute that that hole is that big, which I think is so funny. And then one of the other ends, we went there recently. We went up to is it Arrowhead Lake or no, Mammoth Lake. And up there in Northern California, that was very beautiful. And on the way back from there, we discovered this small little town called Lone Pine. And Lone Pine is this rocky terrain, weird circular rocks place in the middle of nowhere that has a museum that is dedicated to Westerns, Western films and television. And the reason why is because there have been so many Westerns that have filmed around there. And I'm going to mention a couple, and you're going to know exactly where this is. So apparently in the 50s and 60s, so many Westerns shot out there. But the intro to Django Unchained, where they're walking the slaves through and you see all these circular rocks, that's Lone Pine, California. And the whole place looks that way. It's amazing.
Also, if you go up to Mammoth, they have these cool trees called bristlecone pines. And the oldest tree in North America is there.
Called Methuselah.
And I think that place is very, very special. I really like trees now. I'm really into seeing cool trees. I also think in a little closer to us, I think Big Bear is amazing. Every time we go there, I have a wonderful time. It's really beautiful. Sometimes we get in the water. And then I think Vasquez Rocks, just outside of Los Angeles, which you all know from being where Kirk fought the Gorn and 800,000 other things. That's my favorite, like, easy access, close to home, outdoor place to go.
Well, that one, and also we should tell them about Malibu Creek.
Malibu
State Creek Park, which
AKA?
Which is where they shot MASH. It is the MASH. It is the exterior MASH campsite. Now, you can tell in MASH when they have the interior because all the tents are right next to each other.
You can tell when they're on a set for sure.
But you can also tell, like, and they filmed it in Malibu Creek Park, and they've left the sign up that had all the, like, Toledo and
all
whatever.
All the hometowns, yeah.
Now, the first time that I went out there before I met Ashley, they originally had where every tent was roped up, so you could kind of walk around the camp, and it was so cool. They've since gotten rid of that, so all they have is the sign. But when you get there, you can figure out where the swamp is, and then from there, you can figure out where everything else is. And you can be like, oh, that's where the helicopters is. That's where they filmed this. That's where they filmed this. Because all the exterior hills look exactly the same.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah, well, it's been 20 minutes.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Ashley.
Yes.
What are you reading right now?
I am about to start the first Ross Poldark novel, which Jason gave me for Christmas, which inspired the Poldark TV show, which he calls The Sexy Farmer Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited to dive into that. There's a whole series of them. I hope they're as good as the TV show.
Just a good old farmer.
Jason, what are you reading?
Gonna thrash the wheat.
What are you reading right now?
I'm reading the final volume, as some would call it, the Superman Rebirth Deluxe Edition Hardcover Volume 4, which is the final collection of Superman by Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason. On the front cover is emblazoned the Family of Steel. It's basically the end of the Family of Steel arc, which I think is one of the best Superman runs of all time.
I definitely agree.
The Family of Steel. I love Lois. I love Jonathan. I love them as a family outside of Metropolis on this farm. And sad that it's over.
Yeah.
Sad that run's over. So that's what I'm reading. Yeah.
Cool.
So if you want me to write the Dukes of Hazzard movie, and I would totally want to write the Dukes of Hazzard movie. By the way, any patrons, if any of you sell the Dukes of Hazzard movie, and I'll know it's you.
I
will come for you.
I'm just going to say this. I think you should put that in a Google Doc somewhere because I think the idea is a good idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I'm driving, Ashley. I can't put it in a Google Doc.
Well, you do it when we pull over.
Yeah, in 3 hours. Okay. How do we end this thing?
This way. Like this every time.
Okay, cool. I think that's it.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, super friends.